And good morning, folks. It's coffee time. Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back right after this song, September 20th, 2025. Stay tuned.
He's walking on a narrow path and holding his head high. He's talking of an answer that will make a grown man cry. He's hoping for a better day and doing all he can. He's living and he's praying for a place to make his stand. An American is someone who knows just what he's got.
Morning, folks, and once again, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network this September 20th, 2025. Welcome you folks out there, and I'll push the button and bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
And, folks, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer before we get started. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And we just pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we are to go. We pray that you give us the words and guide and direct our thoughts this morning. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings, many blessings that you give us each and every day. And we just ask, Father, that we can be a blessing to you and your people and your kingdom, that we can shed light into a dark world, Lord, that we can bring that message of hope. Lord, we pray and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land as there are so many things that are taking place. Lord, we just cry out to you for you to save us once again. Save us from the hands of our enemies. Save us from the adversaries. those that hate us, that hate our lineage. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you assist us in this battle that is before us, that you grant us the victory. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there is definitely a lot of stuff to talk about, and I'll just open it up. Anybody have anything specifically that they want to start off with this morning?
I got one.
Okay.
It's more to me, over the last few years, I've really become convinced that news coverage and media coverage and all that sort of stuff, it's just a sorcerer's trick. It's just magicians is what it is. They, you know, we've talked about it on the show that it's sleight of hand, you know,
the man behind the curtain, so to speak. Yeah,
you got it. Man behind the curtain, you know, they're dazzling us with the, you know, pixie dust and fireworks in their right hand. And meanwhile, the left hand is doing the evil work. And so this caught my eye, and it was just interesting. You know, in the last week or so, the state of Israel, the Jews have gone to war with Qatar for some reason, the country of Qatar. And just one more Middle Eastern country now that they've attacked. And Netanyahu, that Antichrist, went on record a few days ago saying the reason why they have attacked Qatar and bombed Qatar is because Qatar has been financially supporting Hamas in Gaza, the government of Gaza. The problem with that is Qatar has been supporting Hamas with Benjamin Netanyahu's permission. Going back to 2012, Qatar has given a little over $1 billion to support the Gazan people, the Palestinians, and they've given that money to Hamas, the government there in Gaza, but they've done so with the permission of Israel. From 2012 to 2018, for 6 years, they gave about $1 billion. Netanyahu was in charge of Israel at that time, and he greenlighted and signed off on this money going to Gaza. But now Netanyahu is saying that's the reason why they're going to war with Qatar. So it's, to me, just one more magician's trick of they're wanting us not to know that this was all done by permission. But now they're saying that the permission they gave to Qatar is now the reason why they're attacking Qatar.
I guess they revoked their permission, apparently.
That's a heck of a way to do it.
Qatar, that's just off the Persian Gulf. That's a little country. I haven't heard that name in a long time, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay. Little tiny country. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I just don't know anything about it. But yeah, I mean, if they're giving them over $1 billion, they must be successful and into, you know, doing some humanitarian efforts.
It's an oil-rich country, and okay. I'm not going to pretend to know all of the particulars about Qatar, but one of the reasons why you don't hear much about them is they're not a radical Muslim country, or, you know, they're an oil-rich country that more or less keeps to themselves, and now they're getting attacked for being humanitarian.
Wow. Well, yeah, I think if you look at the root thing too, like what you were talking about there, well, it's, you know, we talked about it in the past a lot of times about thesis, antithesis, creating synthesis, and this
sure.
is another thing. They created the problem by saying, okay, you can give them the money, and then supposedly the solution now is to attack Qatar, and they're going to reap some kind of benefit or something as a result of it. So there's always all these plans within plans. I mean, it's like, wait a minute. You guys said it was okay. Now you're attacking us. What are you getting out of it, you know?
Well, I think that a lot of times when we're dealing with these Jews, it's like they can't help themselves. They just, you know, they've got this money. They've got all this money tied up in their military. They've got these bombs. They've got these missiles. And, you know, I mean, they're creatures of instinct. They just basically, they can't just sit still. They're just, you know, it's just a matter of time before they push the button and to say, you know, what do? Maybe they just roll the dice. I don't know. Or pull a name out of a hat. And, okay, you know, here we go. Let's go bomb over here and start a bunch of crap and start killing women and children over here.
Yeah. You know, Jason, you're right, but they're not picking countries that can really fight back.
Okay, well, yeah, that's a different hat. They got to pick them out of the hat that they have only the names with that are defenseless. Yeah,
that's right. They're. I'm sure Qatar has some kind of military, but I don't know what it is. But it certainly can't stand up to, you know, the state of Israel's military, which is by default the American military. I mean, that's the way that looks. And it's funny, Jason, as you were saying that, I was thinking about Genesis 27:40-42, when it's talking about Esau and, you know, and by your sword you shall live.
Yep.
And that's, you know, they are by nature, they are perpetual just warmongers. They have to be in conflict.
I thought the exact same thing when I heard about this. That was the exact same scripture that popped into my head, and it's like, yep, here they are again.
And, you know, I'm not going to get off. I know we have other things to think about, but just stop it. Let's take the military aspect out of this. Just you know, take the bombs, the tanks, the guns, all of that stuff away, and think about the nature of a Jew, and just, you know, the dealings, the business dealings. You know, they're always in conflict. You know, there's just no harmony there. They're either victimized or trying to shortchange someone or whatever. And I think that goes right along with that scripture of they're just constant conflict. That is what they are. That is their lot in life, so to speak. I don't know.
I agree 100%.
Crisis management experts, if there isn't one to manage, they'll create one. You know what I mean? It's like
crisis manufacturer. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, and who's going to write us the check this week? That's right.
It is that man behind that curtain, just that wizard waving the wand, you know, and that's what they're good at, you know, is what Tim was talking about. And with that Hegelian dialectic, you know, the problem, solution, and reaction, and our problem, reaction, and solution. And that's what they do. That's what they use Hollywood for. That's what they use media for. That's what they've used all of these talking heads for. And, you know, I know we're going to get into it probably a little bit with Charlie Kirk's deal, but, you know, that's why they've bought off so many of these talking heads, because they can pull this string or that string and have conflicting viewpoints of two different people, but the two different people are being paid from the same purse. And that's that conflict. That's that Genesis 27, that they're constantly going to live in conflict, and they're bringing us into their conflict with them. That's kind of the name of the game.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. I've noticed how much we've seen, what do you want to call it? Dissatisfaction with, this particular group of people with the Israelis and all that over there. I mean, you know, you didn't see much of this, I guess, in social media or in general, but since Charlie Kurtz thing, man, they've come out of the woodwork. Have you noticed that? I mean, it kind of reminds me of an Elijah moment when it's like, well, Lord, we're the only ones who try to show who they are. And he's like, oh no, there's lots of them. Look, you know, so I feel like it's like, wow.
Well, with all this bombing and stuff, too, I saw a headline that I thought was worth reading. It says, U.S. quietly curtailing arms sales to Western Europe. The Atlantic, Patriot air defense system, and some other weapons are in short supply, unnamed officials have told the outlet. The U.S. has quietly paused sales of certain weapons to its European allies, The Atlantic has reported. The Trump administration is seeking to stockpile arms as part of its America First agenda. Washington has provided Kiev with over $67 billion in arms and military assistance since the escalation of the Ukraine conflict in 2022. Most of the deliveries were made under the administration of former U.S. President Joe Biden. The Pentagon has now identified some weapons as being in short supply and is moving to block new requests for those systems from NATO countries, the outlet said in an article on Friday. I thought that was interesting. And yeah, I mean, if you don't have weapons, you don't need to be selling weapons. I think that's, you know, I think that's one of the things that we actually talk about quite a bit here on the show is, you know, the importance of being armed. And, you know, I mean, this is being armed as a nation, not just being armed personally, but it makes sense. And I hope we do stop the selling of, you know, all these missile defense systems to all these other countries, too.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, the proliferation of that has been nothing but aiding and abetting today's. Well, just like we were just showing there with the Qatar thing, like what Will was talking about. Today it's okay to sell them that. Tomorrow they're shooting them at somebody you like. You know, I mean, it's like really, let's not do this. You know, so.
Derek chimed in. This is a good scripture. Proverbs 14. He says, for they sleep not except that they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Exactly. Esau cannot sleep. Proverbs 4:16. Yep. Good scripture. Exactly. Right. I mean, that's what they are. That's what they do.
Yep. And since when you were talking about your news story with Eastern Europe or Western Europe, I'm sorry, and the arms, and you know the need for our nation to be armed and us as citizens to be armed. I went to Luke 11:21. A strong armed man it protects his household, protects his possessions. Well, that applies to our nation too. You know, if we're a well armed nation, we will enjoy peace. That I truly believe that.
I do too.
Yes, absolutely. It's that difference again between dangerous and harmless, you know, or peaceful.
That's right. That's right.
Even the queers are looking like they want to be armed nowadays, from what I've been seeing in the news in the last couple of days.
Oh my!
Well, the way things are going for them, that's probably a good idea.
Hey, can you believe? I mean, some of the stuff that keeps coming up, and it's like, am I reading this right? It's like, did I have my coffee yet? I got to go reread this.
Yeah, no doubt. A little more caffeine.
The headline that I'm referring to is FBI scrutinizes Marxist paramilitary group linked to Kirk assassination as leader State Department UN ties to surface. And it's a homosexual queer group that is being investigated. And I thought,
a militant
homosexual.
Yeah.
And they're self-described.
Wouldn't want to go to one of their training events, that's for sure.
No.
Either of you guys know anything about this group, supposedly, that they're investigating?
Be careful how quick you answer that, Tim.
Yeah, that's me.
Sorry.
Yeah, all right. That's okay.
Well, we kind of set him up for that one, but
there's a whole bunch of this going on, and it's just like anything else. I think what we're seeing here is this so-called peaceful protest group. You know, they did the same thing to us back in the Civil War riots back in the day. In the 60s and 70s, you know, they had evil people get up on top of the buildings and throw cement blocks off into their own group of people and destroy them in order to raise agitation levels and you know, really frustrate the whole scenario. Because, and I think that, but the point I'm getting at is those people were trained in counterintelligence and in counterinsurgency. I mean, they understood that, and we're seeing that go on here. We're starting to actually peel back the tent door or the sheet a little bit and see that this is not just some group of, and if you think about it, the other thing that astounds me about this is they act like some of these movements are pretty large, but we know that, what do you want to call it, the homosexual, the transgender thing, you're talking about 1-2% of the population. Obviously, they're in hardcore recruitment and trying to bring more into the fold all the time, but it's like, well, where did all these people come from? Where are, you know, where are these numbers happening from? So I think
I'll speak a little bit to it. As far as I know, this particular group that is supposedly getting linked to Charlie Kirk's assassination, it's actually a spinoff. I'm Armed Queers SLC is what they're supposed to, that's their name or whatever. But what they're a spinoff of is the John Brown Gun Club. And the John Brown Gun Club has been around going back to about 2002. And they originally started in Kansas. And if people don't know who John Brown was he was an abolitionist. He was an anti-slave guy back in the end of the 19th century when the American Civil War was going on. And he was fanatical. I mean, just crazy. And he went on, the Bloody Kansas raids, where he was out hanging people who owned slaves and killing people. And he called himself a minister. And this is a hero of the left. That John Brown took it into his own hands to go take care of what he perceived to be a problem, and the John Brown Gun Club started, I don't know, a little over 20 years ago. It's branched out to a lot of different places, and what it is just leftist Marxists. It's Antifa. That's all that I can tell you. That's what it is. It is a paramilitary group. Reminiscent of what Tim was talking about, going back in the 60s and the 70s. They're a radical communist group of people who are armed and they train. They are all over the country. They're not hiding. It's not an underground group. They have Facebook pages and websites and all of that. They gained some notoriety. The Puget Sound John Brown Gun Club, during all the stuff that was going on in the George Floyd riots, if you remember that section of Portland that got taken, where it was a no-go zone for the police, where it was like 8 square blocks or whatever, that was actually the John Brown Gun Club that orchestrated that, the Puget Sound John Brown Gun Club. Yeah. So they overtook a part of the city of Portland. Nothing ever became of it. There wasn't any criminal filings against those people or anything. Well, now they've branched off and they have these offshoot now that there are these queers. And they've, I guess, had some outreach, and they're organizing and arming the queers. And they're doing this, if you read their literature and you look into what they're doing, they're doing this because they hate people like us, and they are forming these leaderless groups, and the idea that one day things are going to go kinetic and we're going to vote from the rooftops. That's kind of how they're looking at things. And I think it's important to talk about. I mean, I don't know if that was too much information, Jason, but it's important to talk about, because it's kind of, these people exist. You know, I think we think of the left as a bunch of, you know, Cheeto-fingered nerd sitting in their parents' basement playing video games, and that's not the case. There are a lot, especially in the black community, there are a lot of former military folks that are just absolutely communist, Marxist. They have found a home in groups like this where they're giving actual training, real tactics, and it's a growing movement across the country. It really is.
Well, I think it kind of goes back to that. Well, go ahead, Jason. I'll bring this up in a minute.
No, I was just thinking, it's like, you know, okay, and it's probably it's earlier on. I wanted to bring this up in the show today anyway, but you know, this is just a question. Are we in civil war? I mean, if you look at what has been happening and stuff, it's like, are we already in it and we don't even realize it? And are these the people that are, you know, fighting? Are we in that, you know, it just, you know, we're we're going to have opposition. We've talked about that. We've talked about these leftist gun clubs that have popped up. We've talked about that for a while. And then this Puget Sound one, I wasn't familiar with this Puget Sound one. Puget Sound is actually a very beautiful place. Spent a lot of time there as a child. It was just fantastic. There was an old naval base right there on the edge. And I mean, just countless numbers of picnics and stuff in that place. And I wasn't familiar with this place, with this group, though. But man, you talk about that. But there is, I mean, I read about, you know, here locally about a big gun club, and I was surprised. I thought, okay, yeah, somebody's trying to start something, and it was a leftist, liberal gun club. And they were doing training exercises. They were preparing. They were, you know, all kinds of stuff. And all the stuff that you don't think of them as being involved in. And it kind of shocked me when I realized, you know, how many of them there are and how much training that they do. It just kind of interesting.
Tim, did you? I don't want to get started on something else, but I'll just say we've known for years. You know, we've talked about it on the show about the cartels and organized criminal gangs that get folks positioned in the U.S. military. Well, the leftists and the Marxists are doing the same thing, and it's not new. They did the same thing during Vietnam, whereas there were guys that were leaving the military post-Vietnam. They were getting recruited into these leftist organizations. The same thing's happening now, where they're actively recruiting law enforcement and military, active duty law enforcement and military, and into the ranks of these leftist groups, and you'll find that is where they're getting most of their training and also most of their intelligence. And I misspoke earlier when I said they were in Portland. I meant it was Seattle, where they had the no-go zone, where they took over. And the post investigation of that is they found out that it seemed like the Puget Sound John Brown Gun Club was like one step ahead of anything that the Seattle PD was doing, and it came out in the post investigation. That's because there were elements within the police that were working actively with them, giving them in real time intelligence. Just throwing that out there, that it's kind of a multifaceted front. And I'm going to answer your question just from Will's point of view, Jason. We've been in a cold civil war in this country where we had skirmishes of, you know, where it would go kinetic. And I think what you're starting to see now is a rise of activity. We've seen some skirmishes and battles, but I think you're going to start seeing that more frequently now.
Yeah, and I think that you've got kind of going, this all ties in, is that they're calling it the Socialist Rifle Association, and they're claiming, you know, 10,000 members. They had a chapter in Utah. One of their taglines is women-friendly, BIPOC-friendly, queer-friendly. One of the quotes that they use is that they'll die fighting for this cause, which was a quote attributed to John Brown. And I think it's interesting that in some of their literature that I was looking through is they say, well, a third of our members are Marxist Leninists, you know, and a third of them are LGBTQ. But my question is, so what's the other third? Because that's only two thirds, but you know, definitely someone there saying, hey, well, let's, you know, let's use the queers for cannon fodder. That'd be great. You know, you see them. There's a whole bunch of that going on. And we already know by the Israelis' own words that they're Marxist communists and that Jewry is communism. I mean, I think that, for example, I think Jack Moore did a great job of showing actual quotes and actual trace back to the communist movement. The card that they're putting out is their card-carrying Socialist Rifle Association card, has a picture of Marx on it, Karl Marx. I mean, it's on there. And, you know, communism isn't dead. It just, the greatest, you know, supposedly one of the greatest deceptions that ever was done was when Satan made people think he didn't exist. And the Marxists and communists kind of did the same thing. It's like, oh, well, we're just all over here in China now. That's where we're at. You know, all you got to do is look over here. When actually it left him free to move around in a whole bunch of places. So we're definitely up against this you know, movement that is out there, and they're very militant about it. I mean, they're not interested. It always reminds me of you take groups that are pro-American, pro-gun ownership. They're very careful about what they say. You know, they don't say learn how to use your gun so that you can defend your country. Although, mm-hmm. you know, in a military sort of way, and show somebody in full military garb there with an armor carrier on, and, you know, an AR-15 gunned out. No, they don't show that. It's you know, more of a statesman type viewpoint. And this is a destructive, militant viewpoint. And I like what Jason said. What does civil war look like in a modern day digital world? You know, are we already there? I mean, is it going on right under your nose? And a lot of people just don't understand. They don't understand the battle till, you know, it seems to me that in this modern day, that when the bullets start flying, it's much more, then it kind of comes home, but that's late to the gate, you know, type thing. I mean, there's a lot going on.
I got a quick quote. You were talking about the link of, you know, you're talking about Marx being on the card for these, this gun club, the socialist gun club. Here's a quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and it's the Bolsheviks, the Russian communists that overthrew the Tsar there. This is what he had to say about that. He said, "We cannot state that all Jews are Bolsheviks, but without Jews, there would have never have been Bolsheviks."
Yeah.
And I think, to me, that's what it goes back to. You know, I can't state all of these, this, you know, the Marxist gun club you're talking about, Tim, with Karl Marx on the card. Yeah, I can't say that those people are Jews. They're probably not. But without the Jews, there would be, that club wouldn't exist.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's a good point. So they foment that. They foment, you know, armed rebellion. And then they play off of it. It's back to that third party thing. Let's you and him fight, and I'm over here reaping the benefits of it, or they are. You
know? That's right.
So, yeah. So it furthers our agenda.
Well, I did some traveling this. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sir.
Well, I was just going to say I did some traveling this week and was sitting down. Found myself sitting down. And a man from Ontario, Canada, came up and sat down next to me. And after a few minutes, I, you know, turned to him and you know, said, "Where are you from?" And he said, "Ontario, Canada." And I said, "Oh, this is going to get interesting." And you know, started talking to him and we talked for a few minutes. And then pretty soon I leaned over to him and I said, "It's gotten pretty bad over there, hasn't it?" And you should have seen his eyes. His eyes got as big as pie plates. And he looks at me and he's like, "You know about it?" And I said, "Yeah." And he's like, "Man," he's like, "I'm really trying not to be a racist, but," and went on to tell me story after story about the things that have happened in Canada. And he's telling me, he's like, "It's bad. It's bad." And I told him, I said, "I got a buddy up in Canada, Derek. And he's been telling me about some of these stories and stuff, and about the, you know, the tow truck drivers and just, you know, the truck drivers and how bad it's gotten and everything." And he said the exact same thing. And he pulled out his phone and started showing me some pictures and stuff. And he says, you know, he says, he said this last week, he's like, "I told my wife, we can't go to Costco anymore. He's like, I'm done. He's like, these foreigners come in, and he's like, I call them roadblocks. He's like, you're trying to go down an aisle, and he says you have three generations of them, and they make a barricade across the aisle, and you can't get around them, and they don't move out of your way. And he says they are so disrespectful and just so horrible to deal with. And it was interesting because it was. To me, it was really interesting. Not that, I mean, I already knew about it and I knew what was happening over there, but it was just to see how easy it was to get somebody to break out of their shell and to talk about it, because, you know, you could tell it's like he wanted to talk about it. He was scared to talk about it, but it was relief when, you know, when he found out that there was somebody else out there. And this person worked for the government up there, and, we had several very, very interesting conversations about it. It was interesting to to see his facial expressions when he's talking about how bad it was. And he was talking about how great it was out here, and he's like there's white people, and you know, they're not shoving this stuff down your throat. And he's like, it was just a relief to him. And he was telling me about the different parts of the United States that he has been sent over time. And it was really an interesting conversation.
Isn't it interesting to think about, you know, how long has the indoctrination been going in Canada that they've just sort of, I don't want to say bought into it, because I know that's not true. I know there's good people there that haven't bought into it. But as a society, you know, without like a violent uprising or clamping down on Canada or the Canadian people, it's just they've been lulled into silence. You know, what struck me, Jason, with what you were talking about there is he was hesitant to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, he really didn't want to talk about it. And that just makes me think, you know, that has to be a product of his environment in Canada, that you just don't talk about it. You know, there has to be a fear of some kind of repercussion, right?
Exactly.
I know you look in the UK right now. I just had a story sent to me late last night of a cancer patient that was out on active chemo, got a visit from the cops for a social media post he put out about the ragheads there. And they were going to haul his butt to jail.
Right.
And the guy's a cancer patient, you know, and I'm looking at that thinking, I don't think that's going on in Canada, but I know they have some pretty harsh laws when it comes to speaking out against people or against certain groups of people. I guess you could speak out against white people all you want, but you know, certain groups of people, they have some laws. I don't know. I know things are tough here in the United States, and I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture. And I'm stopping myself from saying what I want to say, but you know, I can still call a spade a dirty shovel here and not go to jail, for now at least.
Right.
And we look at other places in the world, like Canada and the UK and Scotland and Germany. You know, I tell you what, you want to talk about free speech, go to Germany and get a copy of Mein Kampf and stand on the sidewalk and start talking about how, you know, Adolf Hitler was the greatest white man that ever lived. And let's see how long you see freedom. You're probably not gonna, you're gonna get to see the inside of a German jail. That's what you're gonna do.
And they're gonna lock you up and throw away the key is what they're gonna do.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, I guess my point is, when you look through the westernized of what we used to call Christendom, right? You look through, westernized white society and you look at their laws when it comes to speaking against certain groups of people. And I'm trying to get my words right here. We are still a free nation when it comes to being able to speak out. We're doing this radio show this morning, going out across the airwaves and not afraid of offending anyone or the repercussions or whatever. That can't be said in other places where our brothers and sisters are at.
Right.
we should be thankful for our freedom. We're blessed.
Yes. Yes, we are. I agree.
And we should look at those examples and make sure that doesn't happen here.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's what, yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that, I mean, I don't know what your men thoughts of. I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys this week, but, you know, some of the stuff that I'm seeing that's coming out, you know, Mike Johnson, I've heard him. I know there's a lot of people that do like him, you know, because they're like, you know, he's such a conservative and he's such a great Christian and this and that. I'm just going to tell you, I just don't like the guy. I don't even like to look at the guy. I mean, he gives me the creeps. He reminds me of BDI Jew, but that's, you know, that's just me. You know, I think that some of the stuff that I've seen him come out, it's like, is he trying to, you know, limit what we can say and, you know, label stuff as hate speech and, you know, make it a sin or make it a illegal. I don't know, but it just a lot of the undertones that I've seen lately is I just feel like that's what he's trying to do. Does that make sense?
I agree. No, I agree.
It does. They're talking about diffusing the rhetoric, you know, and it's like, how do you diffuse the facts? You know, I mean, the issue is form follows function a lot of times, and there are things that, you know, there's basically kind of like what Will said, sometimes you just have to call a spade a dirty shovel, you know, I mean, it's like, no, you know, and this is not right, and it's not popular, it's not politically correct, you know, but that doesn't change the facts, and somebody needs to say it.
Let me give you some food for thought, and y'all have already probably chewed on this and already thought about it yourself, but just some food for thought. There's no way to characterize what happened with Charlie Kirk other than a tragedy. Whether you know, there's going to be people listening to us that just say, you know, he was a Zionist shill and all of that, and that's not the conversation. That was a tragic public execution, is what that was. It was. There's nothing good about that. But if you stop and think about this, what Tim was talking about earlier, with the problem and reaction and solution that Hegelian dialectic, this conversation that Johnson is having about this dangerous rhetoric and that sort of stuff. Let's stop and think about this. We would all agree that it is terrible what these communists, what these leftists, what these queers, what, you know, whoever it is, these race baiting blacks that are speaking out against Charlie Kirk and you know, saying he's burning in hell and that he was a Nazi and he was all of these things, right? And what appears to be a guy like Mike Johnson wanting to silence them for the memory of Charlie Kirk. There's going to be folks out there that agree with that, you know, they need to be silenced. And I'm going to tell you, I think they need to be silenced. But if we create these rules and these laws and we allow that to happen with this problem, they will be used against us.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
They will be used against Jason and Tim and Will. And if you really stop and think about it, we were talking at the very beginning of this about the man behind the curtain, those people that are pulling the levers, those people that are looking at the 50,000-foot view, right? They're looking down on us, and they're moving puzzle pieces, and they're moving chess pieces to make it look the way they want it to look. Who's to say that this isn't what the Jews want? They want us to be up in arms about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, to the point that America is willing to give up its freedom to make sure that people don't speak bad of a dead man.
Right.
And then that's going to get turned around, and maybe next month it'll be just like Canada, where we can't speak against ragheads or Jews or blacks or whatever. Or how about this? And I truly mean what I'm about to say, and I know this isn't going to be probably real popular, but it will keep the queers from speaking bad about us conservative Christian people, which they hate us, and if they want to be public and say they hate us, they have a right to do so. I really believe what I just said there, guys. That if we try to keep people from speaking ugly about Charlie Kirk and his widow and his children, that will get turned around against us. It will.
I agree 100%. That's the debate that Pastor Peters had back when he was debating the homosexuals. And
that's right.
It's the same thing. It was, you know, it was for freedom of speech. And, you know, that's what, you know, the platform that Pastor Peters went on is it's freedom of speech. And, you know, I should be able to discriminate whoever I want to discriminate against. And there was a time where, you know, right after that, he went into, I can't remember if it was a dry cleaners or where it was. And somebody said, you know, the owner of the shop said, I know who you are. And I'm going to refuse you service. And Pastor Peters said, yeah, exactly. And if this bill would not have or would have went through, you would not be able to discriminate against me. And that's what I want. He's like, if you're an owner of a business, you should be able to discriminate against whoever you want to discriminate. And you should be able to say that's whatever right. you want to be able to say. And he and they sat there and he said and explained to him that if this bill had passed, you wouldn't be able to do this. You would have to refuse me service. Even though you disagreed with everything that I stand for.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. It's like people don't like, they don't like it. You know, people talking about Charlie Kirk, they don't like him saying this. They don't like him saying that. They don't like, and the thing is, you know, we don't need to be passing laws making that illegal because I agree 100%. That will be used against us in the long run. That's the long game.
And, you know, a great something I learned very young as a teenager, and it was on the gun show circuit of just dealing with some guys that kind of took me under the wing and taught me about the Constitution. A very simple way of looking at this the way I look at it is that constitutional test. It's like Tim talking about the fruit test, right? So here's a constitutional test when it comes to this. Your rights end where mine begin. And mine end where yours begin. So if you're speaking out against me, but you're not stealing my stuff, you're not harming me physically, you know, any of those things, speak away. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. The moment that we start making laws that are outside of the Constitution that prevent us from speaking our thoughts, that is totalitarianism. I mean, that's what it is we have to be, I'm preaching to the choir here of,
right. I know what you're trying to say.
Charlie Kirk's assassination is a terrible thing. And I don't like that people would speak out, negatively of a dead man, a good man like Charlie Kirk, but they have every right to.
Yes.
And I stand by their right to do so.
Because what is it going to be next? Is it going to be the queers or is it going to be the Jews or is it going to be the Catholics or, you know, who knows? You know, you never know what it's going to be next, but if we open that and let that start happening, we've got a big problem. I think we're all in agreement upon that.
Well, and does your group fear demonization or, you know, whatever? And if so, why? I mean, the truth stands on its own, unabridged, you know, and there's the benefits of the truth, the blessings of the truth, and sometimes the hard, you know, the hard part of the truth, but it stands that way. When someone is, it says that your enemy is, you know, they hide in darkness. They do all these traps. They do all this kind of stuff. So that's why the Bible talks about them liking darkness more than light. And that's why they fear that light being shown upon them, which is what free speech and the ability to – the battle is for the mind, for people's mind. You know, I mean, that's and their hearts and their souls follow. When we talk about this kind of stuff, that's why when we see them talking about, oh, implementing martial law, maybe because of housing prices or because of something else, the dangerous part about it is that can be used against us in some other way. I mean, it's a broad That's right. spectrum net that will tie you down. And the Bible talks about nets and about being trapped in nets. And so you've always got to – I always look at it like turn it around. What you want to do to them, if that was turned around and applied to you, how would you – what would you think about it? And you need to look at it from the standpoint of maybe we shouldn't do that, because God's truth will stand against everything that comes before it and against it. So, don't fall into the trap.
Well said.
Well, and I think that, I mean, talking about Charlie's death and stuff, there's just, I know we talked a lot about it last week, and there is just a lot of stuff that we don't know. And it seems like there's, you know, more information that comes out, and then there's more lies that are exposed and this and that. And I don't want to go into a lot of that, but I do think that it's very interesting, because I've seen that Netanyahu, he came out at least three times so far and says that, basically made a video and a press release saying that we were not responsible for the death of Charlie Kirk. We didn't have anything to do with it. And I don't know, just making, you know, at least three posts, and maybe there's more, I don't know, but statements about that. To me, that's interesting. What do you guys think on that?
Tim?
We lose Tim?
Tim?
Oh, I think we lost him. Okay.
Oh, there we go. Sorry about that.
Oh, there he is.
I think he's protesting too much. I like the old saying.
There you go.
We think if he does protest too much. Sometimes there's directly responsible for it and indirectly responsible for it, but you're still bearing some issues. And I don't, like to say, I don't know all the ins and outs of it. But there's certainly, it bears the hallmarks of all the confusion of those people's actions. I mean, there's so much. You watch the law enforcement, you watch the things that are going on, you watch the questions and the silence on so many things, ballistics, people involved. I mean, we're talking about something that happened there. You want to talk about a well-televised event. I mean, that thing had, there were cameras
everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So why grainy images? Why everything else? There's definitely a lot of questions, at least in my part. But you mix that in with the fact that he was talking about that, and you mix it in with the fact that there's been, supposedly he was offered a bunch more money to conduct himself in a pro-Israeli sort of way, and
that he refused.
Yeah, and that he refused, and that he was informed, according to people who were in the know, that there would be repercussions of that. I mean, that's we certainly know that you have to be careful what you say sometimes, and be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So it's a strange thing, to my way of thinking.
Jason, I know we're getting toward the top of the hour break, but I want to throw something out there that it made the news cycle, but I think it needs to be discussed just this morning, because to me, this is, Tim and I visited offline yesterday about it, but this is just a crazy thing. And this isn't a conspiracy theory. This isn't any, us supposing or anything like that. So the Utah Attorney General, I believe I'm right on that it was the Utah AG, they give a press conference a couple of days ago, and it has the Utah County Sheriff there, all of the usual people that would be up on a stage at the podium speaking, and they have publicly released, they being the state of Utah and the prosecutors that will be litigating this case, they have publicly released a string of text messages, supposed text messages, between this shooter and his trans boyfriend. And in the string of text messages, it is supposedly real time from the moment he has pulled the trigger. And it's step by step of this is his grandfather's gun, that he's wrapped it in a black towel, that he's disassembled it, where he's put it in the woods, all of these things, just building this narrative. And there's two things real quick. One, it just looks scripted. It doesn't look to me, I'm not a 22-year-old guy like this guy is supposed to be or whatever, but it is like they're checking boxes of the questions that people are asking. You know, of all of the things that are a buzz on the internet, it's like they're checking those boxes and answering them in these text thread. So that in itself is, and I mean, I know Tim may have an opinion on that, but the thing that is really crazy about this is this. You have just blown your entire criminal case against this Tyler Robinson cat, because this is exculpatory evidence that has now been released to the entire world. How are you going to find an impartial jury to try this man? Because you have now given out all of your evidence of motive, because the motive is in the text thread. The means, the opportunity, the fact that, you know, he hit the – they gave away their entire case in a press release. That is not done. That is never done, ever. That is just being a criminal prosecutor 101. You hold those cards to your chest. That never gets released, because you piss in the pool the moment you do that, and you can't get it back. And that is the immediate grounds for a dismissal, for judicial misconduct. I mean, there's all sorts of things there. And I'm looking at that thinking, you know, the state of Utah, I guess going back, they haven't had some high profile murders in a while. This is probably the highest profile murder that the state of Utah has ever experienced. And they ruined it. They ruined it really in the first week right out of the gate. And I have a hard time thinking to myself that that's not on purpose.
Right. It had to have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredibly unprofessional. I mean, you know, to do that. I mean, the first thing, it's not that the news outlets don't ask questions, but, you know, how often do you hear that? We can't speak about an ongoing investigation. I mean, I think they have to memorize that for tests when they're doing the bar and stuff. we don't talk about that. So this is,
The phrase judicial irresponsibility comes to mind. And at the least, it's judicial irresponsibility. They just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And it wasn't like they gave a synopsis either, Jason. Like, they released in a text thread, you know, this is what was said, and this long ongoing text thread. And I remember as I was reading it, I was thinking, no one does this. This is not done anywhere. You do this after the trial. That's when you will release this to the public. You don't do it before the trial unless you're trying to sabotage it.
Right.
Well, yeah, and by that very yardstick, if they proceed with that and do select a jury, I mean, you've got to wonder if something's not up. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
If it's not, the fix is in type thing. So, I mean, there should be, at the very least, you would think they'd be talking about sanctions or something against those the governing bodies that are responsible for allowing that to proceed. I mean, but. They just act like it's okay.
the process of picking a jury is called voir dire, and in the voir dire process, whoever this dude's defense counsel is going to be, I mean, he could just keep striking jurors to the point of a mistrial. I mean, because this is going to be the number one question: did you see this in the media? They could just strike juror after juror after juror after juror. I don't know. I find it very interesting.
Yeah, I find it very interesting too. We're going to have to take a break real quick. We'll be right back. Folks, stay tuned for hour number two coming up right after this song. Hold your thoughts, men.
The song you are about to hear is true. Though some of the events described have not occurred in the life of the author, they have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, I sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. And since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, nor subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied, because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. Cause when the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize their sweet brides as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right, and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right, and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-207.
And we're back, and it's September 20th, 2025. You're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And the phone number to call in this morning is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. And, I'll go back to you, man. Where Did you guys want to continue on, or what do you guys want to talk about next?
I'll defer to my elder, Tim.
Well, you know, we're talking about all this stuff going on, and I would just kind of reiterate the whole thing of what does civil war look like in this country? I mean, we've got there's so many mentions. I seen that that to Kennedy over there is he's kind of catching it from both sides of the aisle on a lot of stuff he's doing. He's trying to, you know, they basically canned the leader, the director of the CDC, and they did a hearing showing all the lies that they caught her in and different things like that. And one of the big things was the hepatitis B shot. I thought that was interesting because, you know, they give these babies that are born in the hospital a hepatitis B shot on day one. I mean, that's like one of the first jabs they get. And one of the questions was, why? If the mother is negative, why? You know, and no answer, just a lot of diversion and deflection. And when we see these kind of things going on, that to me, when someone has the power of that kind of stuff over your children and over your family, that seems like an attack on something that's, what do you want to call it, foundational cornerstone of our republic. I mean, it's like, no, they're your child. You have, but we have all this, they want to protect them all for that, but they don't have, I mean, it's turning now, but at one point here, not too long ago, they sure weren't worried about, changing their gender or something almost, you know, it's such a conundrum when you look at it, or such a you know, just confusing. And we all know who the author of confusion is. So, but I think a lot of that is, the other question I have is what happened, you know, and I've been looking, but it's hard to find out, as far as what kind of distraction was the death of Charlie Kirk? All this stuff is, you know, there's what other things have been going on during that point of time, or that somebody didn't want people looking at, or things like that. And that's one of those things, whenever we see a watershed moment like this, you really want to get your head up and start looking around, because, and I'm not saying that his death wasn't tragic, but that's the kind of watershed moments they look for, is something that shakes people to the core, you know. And I think when we see that kind of stuff, I think we have to look around. So that I was just going to throw that out.
Great point, Tim. Great point. When, yeah, when everybody's staring at one thing, that's when you can get a lot of other things done, right? You're not paying attention to those.
One of the things that I noticed, and I did, excuse me, I've liked, I followed Lauren Boebert. She was, she's been very active in the, you know, pro America, pro gun, pro, you know, basically thought up, stood, I thought she stood up for a lot of things. And one of the bills that they passed on September 11th, 2025, that didn't hear about, didn't even know that it was getting voted, but it was another one of those bills to, well, it just says, in a first step forward towards a federal law punishing criticism of Israel, the House of Representatives on Wednesday passed a massive defense budget that would bar companies engaged in political motivated boycotts of the country from Pentagon contracts. The bill would effectively ban contracts boycotting Israel from tapping most federal contract dollars. Since more than half of the $755 billion the U.S. government spent on contracts last year flowed through the Defense Department, the latest legislation attempts to target the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel human rights violations, or BDS, would still have to pass the Senate. But, I mean, basically, they're just still pecking away at it.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier for freedom of speech, right? I mean, that's the same First Amendment.
And I know that, and it's kind of interesting because this looks like, to me, Will, you probably know more about this. This looks like a carbon copy of a bill that Texas has just for state of Texas contracts, because I think that they signed that, what, a year or two ago? Does that sound right?
It's been a couple years.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, and it does seem, I haven't read the deal with Boebert, but what you were just reading, Jason, it sure seems like that's a carbon copy.
I think it is a carbon copy of what one state. I guess there's been like three states that have already done that as far as a state goes.
Florida did it as well.
Yep. And I think that there might have been one more, but I can't remember the name of it because it's been so long. But
Florida did it when Pam Bondi, who's now the Attorney General of the Department of Justice, when she was the Attorney General of Florida, I think Florida was the first state that did this, and they pushed it hard. And then Texas followed suit. And so, it's interesting that it's happening more on a national level now.
Exactly. And when I read this, it was like, this is a carbon copy of what they did in Florida and Texas. And it looks like they just took the exact same thing. Instead of on a state level, they expanded it to a federal level. So I don't know, just interesting. But it shows that, it's like, working behind the scenes. And it's like, I didn't hear anything about this, but didn't even know that it was something that was going to be voted on.
That kind of goes back to what Tim was saying, Jason, right? I mean, we're paying attention to one thing. Gosh knows what's happening under the radar, right?
Exactly. That's why I wanted to bring that up. Yeah.
Along those lines, it's going back to kind of international stuff, but I don't have the news story in front of me, but I don't know. It was sometime last week. It was just a couple of days after the Charlie Kirk assassination. The state of Israel fully invaded Gaza. There had been limited airstrikes and that sort of thing. What they say is limited. I know I shared it with Tim, but they have fully invaded I think displaced, I think it's 700,000 people have fled Gaza. And this has all been while the world was watching what happened in Utah. And it hasn't made international news hardly at all. But as of today, to my knowledge, Israel is in control of all of Gaza now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they're pretty much burning it all down, too. I mean,
burning it all down.
Yeah, literally a scorched earth thing. This started 4 days
There was
ago.
One. 4 days ago, and I don't remember, but I know initially they gave like a 24-hour warning to flee, or like what Tim said, they were just going to come in and whoever was left was going to die. And typical of the Jews, I think that 24 hours was actually more like 16 hours. They showed up 8 hours early and just started the destruction. And the thing that's interesting to me, it's not interesting. Now, we know this, but it's just it should be said, is, this is kind of like the Qatari thing that we talked about in the beginning, right? That this is all about Hamas, according to the state of Israel. So this is to break the back of Hamas once and for all. But they're bulldozing buildings and demoing buildings. And scorched earth, like Tim said, they're just burning everything to the ground. That sure doesn't seem like it's breaking the back of Hamas. It sure seems like they're making sure that the Palestinians can't come back. There's nothing to come back to.
I wonder where they got the bulldozers.
Well, they say Caterpillar on them, and I know some of those are made here in Texas and some are made in Illinois.
And the other thing is when you look at all that kind of stuff, you're seeing, Norges Bank Investment Management says it's quit its investments in the U.S. manufacturer Caterpillar. So because of, there was a review of the company's connection to the Gaza conflict. So there's, you said a mouthful, Jason, when you said where'd they get the bulldozers. So,
yeah.
I was referring to a story that we covered. I don't know. I think it was back in July when it said that the IDF receives a bulldozer shipment from U.S. that was held up by the Biden administration. But they got them. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there's a lot. Well, and then there's all this talk in the investment groups all across the board, if you look, where they're talking about, oh, wow. There's a wonderful, you know, they're sitting back clapping their hands going, there's a wonderful opportunity here for us to invest in a new Gaza area there for, you know, resorts and for all this and everything. Because, you know, ocean views and, or I mean, you know, beachfront property and all sorts of things like this. So some of the money mongols are definitely looking at this as a major opportunity for them. So it's just, it's sad. I mean, as far as how it goes.
What do you guys know about this? Or if you guys know anything about this, Tristan Anderson, 22-year-old guy that tried to kill the governor of, what state was that?
New Hampshire. Yeah, so I got an opinion on that. So all of this leftist stuff that we've been talking to, right, are talking about, and that seems like that's the tide, that's the wave of what's happening in the country right now amongst young folks, you know, 20-somethings and teens and that sort of thing. Well, this guy wants to kill this is according to the – once again, I think it was a text thread or something like that that they intercepted. He wants to kill the governor of New Hampshire because of the Israeli deep state. That was his official, you know, that he wants to overthrow the Israeli deep state, that they're controlling the federal government. And that guy just comes out of nowhere. And I'm not making fun of New Hampshire, but, you know, there's not a lot that goes on in New Hampshire. And I just think I don't know, man, maybe I'm just really cynical, but I just thought to myself, like, what a great time to produce somebody.
That sounds like another false ideal. Exactly.
Yeah. It goes back to Netanyahu saying, no, we're the good guys. We had nothing to do with this. And then all of a sudden you get a white guy that looks like he belongs in that no-go zone with the Puget Sound John Brown Gun Club saying that he's trying to tear apart the Israeli deep state. I don't know. It just seems weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of high strangeness going on there. Yeah.
Yeah. And the hallmark of a lot of federal operations like that is, you know, he was constructing pipe bombs. And that was how he was going to kill the governor of New Hampshire. And I don't know. I always look at that as suspect. Whenever you're getting the means of production and the material needed to make pipe bombs, a lot of times that comes from our friends at the FBI. And, you know, they're able to provide stuff like that. I don't know. That's another subject, but that sure happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and when you read into it, as I understood it, at least from what I read, I mean, you know, however limited that is, he allegedly planned to use to make those things. Like, and that kind of goes along with what you're saying. He had metal tubes, bags of nuts and bolts, fireworks. He owned guns. Oh my goodness. You know, I mean, he had all the
ingredients. You just described my shop, Tim. Yeah.
I always remind you of that book, you know, what is it? The Bible Handbook for Extremist Survivalists.
Extremists. I think
it's like that just because you have those things does not mean that you have the know-how or the desire or impetus to make them. And obviously he ran his mouth too much, supposedly. But again, you know, that's like so many of these things. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I talked about it before, but this AI issue, We have people that are in scams all the time because of AI voice and because of AI everything else. I mean, it's not hard to imagine that they could create a scenario and use your text, your chats, your voice, your everything else, and you not even to be involved. You'd be like, huh? You know, I mean, it's like, yeah. So there's, I mean, that's that doubter, that interesting, like maybe this isn't so working against them while they try to use it to work for them, you know, the deceivers. So, and I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know whether he's, you know, it may be legit all the way down the line for all I know, but you still, there's still that little background in your mind that says, so, yeah.
Just convenient timing.
Exactly.
Yeah, convenient timing for sure. We're talking about all of the Civil War stuff and these leftists. Have y'all paid any attention or seen any these attacks on the ICE facilities and all that? They're continuing. Have y'all seen that?
God, there was a big one in New York, right? I mean, I think
big
I heard
one.
Something
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, they're, that was up in New York a few days ago, and I think they ended up arresting 20 or so people that were, once again, you know, forcing their way into these ICE holding cells and that sort of thing. And funny enough, out of the 12, 11 of them were Democratic elected officials.
Oh, my goodness.
You know.
Yeah.
It was a big surprise.
Can we
right?
deport yeah. them as well?
Well, there's something to be said for that. And that was where I was going with this. Of it happened in New York and happened in Chicago as well, or outside of Chicago. I don't remember how many got arrested, but it was the same thing in Chicago. And the deal in Chicago was at least it gave the appearance of the way that these protesters, these folks that were causing all the ruckus, they were dressed like Antifa. And that was really where I was going with this, of asking y'all, have you heard about this move to label Antifa as a terrorist organization?
Yes, I did. And actually, yeah. They are a terrorist organization. I mean, that's...
I don't disagree with you.
That's
yeah.
the first thing that popped into my head. It's like, you know, I'm like, actually, I agree with that. They are.
Yeah. Well, and that goes along, Jason, with what you were saying is, can we deport these people? Well, if they get labeled, if Antifa becomes a recognized terrorist organization... And these elected officials, no matter what their stripe is, you know, if they're working with Antifa and these protests or whatever, yeah, they it may be like that guy on the street corner in Germany. They may get locked up and never see daylight again. We'll just have to see what happens on that. I find it interesting, though. I'm with you 100%. I think Antifa is nothing more than a Marxist domestic terror group. I really believe that. And I think they're well funded. And that's part of what this deal with Trump's administration is. It's not just the kids out there throwing bricks and trying to hit people with skateboards. They're wanting to go after the people that are funding it. And
exactly.
That's what will open. And to me, that is the, man, I'll say exciting. That's kind of the exciting part of this is if they truly do that, it'll be interesting in what they come up with and who they say is the bankroll for it.
Yeah.
We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Good morning, man.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, just fine. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing well.
A few great, things
Kevin.
Here.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, thank you. Tina Peters is still in prison. She had her 70th birthday day, didn't she, there?
Yeah, I think it was just recently. Yep.
Yeah. And then did you see the information that came out about Starbucks changing their dress code?
I did not.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Cracker Barrel thing.
Oh, really? That all over again, huh?
Well... I think this is going to get rid of a lot of these red and purple hair people.
Oh, okay.
They started out maybe out of jobs. They started out in May by just having them wear their green apron. And now they've gone to no facial tattoos or more than one facial piercing, no tongue piercing, no theatrical makeup. And they want to make it a family-friendly oriented place.
Wow, that's a shift from them telling people to take their Christian values and go somewhere else not too long ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something.
It is. I think it's great. I really do. It's the dollar. They're getting hurt by the dollar.
Yeah. Well, that's what we've told people. Vote with your dollars.
Yeah. Nobody wants to go into a place and see all these freaks. They're telling they have to cover their armpits. They're going to give them free aprons now. And so in Colorado and California, they're suing Starbucks. I just have to laugh, really. There's something I cannot untangle well enough that you guys could. Hal Turner came out last night on his broadcast, and now he has it on his website this morning, about another 2008 collapse. Have you guys read into that?
I've heard a little bit about it, but I don't know a lot about it.
Has a lot to do with subprime loans on auto loans. A company called Tricolor, and they lend. If one of you take a look at his website, I mean, they're lending to people at subprime that don't have money. Foreigners, people with little money and stuff. And now Morgan Stanley and them are telling people to change their holdings. It's Morgan Stanley recommends changing their portfolios to 60% bond and a new formulation from that to a new formulation. 60% stock, 60% bonds, or 20% bonds, and 20% gold.
That's interesting.
It
is interesting.
It looks like a collapse of 2008.
Wow. Yeah, interesting. Definitely interesting.
Can you pick that apart, Danny?
No.
No, I was going to say I've just been watching silver and gold steadily go up day after day after day over the last few weeks, and I mean that would be consistent with what Kevin's saying there.
Yeah, silver's up to $43.
Yeah, gold's at $3,700. Yeah.
And they're talking about a rise to $4,000 on gold. And they also are working on a decoupler on silver right now between paper and physical. And there's been a lot of noise about that in the markets. And if they do that, you'll see physical go a lot higher than 40. I mean, it's like because it's oversold with the paper market huge. So, silver's going to go if that happens. But as far as this automobile industry going and how it plays into the economy, they really messed things up with the whole EV thing, because they shook the cage really hard. And, of course, they tried to make a mid-market jump to full EV retard. And when they did that, they shelved a lot of stuff. And new car inventory from the manufacturer is, it's astoundingly stupid how many new cars are parked in airports and stuff across the country that they can't sell. So you've got places like Tricolor and, you know, GM Lending and a lot of these other places, they basically will, if you've got a pulse, man, you can buy a car. But even prior to all this, the repo rate on new automobiles was about 8 out of 10 repos. But this is what happens when you have cars that, you know, they keep extending the loan payoff periods on these new automobiles because they're so insanely expensive. I mean, when I was a kid in high school, you did good to get a 2 or 3 year note on a new car. Today, they're trying to extend them out to 12 years.
And yes.
These new cars won't even last that long. I mean, so it's like, your return on investment is non-existent. You're kicking the can down the road. And you're not talking about, a lot of people are like, well, I'm just talking about one car. And it's like, no. The automobile is what moves America, whether it's trucks or cars or whatever. It's how money's made. And so it's a huge sector in the financial markets, I think, when you look at it that way. And the rebound or the ups and downs of it have tremendous impact. You know, I mean, it's like, wow.
Something to consider, too, that Kevin brought up, and it just, I'm just speaking hypothetically, but it would make sense to me, of the number of foreigners. I know around here, at least, every major car dealership, it doesn't matter if it's Ford, GM, Toyota, whatever it is, you know, they actively advertise that, you know, no social security number needed to secure a car loan, that, you know, just have an ETN number, whatever the case may be. So they're trying to sell cars to illegals. That's what they're doing. And with the rate of deportation that we're having, how many of these car notes are going under because the people who bought the cars aren't here anymore?
That's a good point, too. Yeah, really.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that sounds maybe a little far-fetched, but, you know, the people that they gave these unsecured loans to buy these, you know, I you're right, Tim. I mean, you're talking about when you were in high school. I'm looking at, you know, like a Jeep Wagoneer that cost as much as my first house. And
yes.
It is a ridiculous amount of money that people are paying for vehicles, for new vehicles. And, you know, when you repo that, that's like a foreclosure with the house, right? You know, you're $70,000, $80,000 in the hole. And with the number of foreigners that are either skipping out on these loans or just, you know, being deported and no longer here in America, those are going to be defaulted loans. And I could see a 2008 moment again, for sure.
Yeah.
Part of his article also includes that, they filed Chapter 7. That means they have absolutely no hope of reorganizing or continuing business. They are filing for liquidation. And their sub-companies have been told they're placed on temporary unpaid leave, and they're here by October 6th if their jobs are still there. It's really blasting them. Jason, I want to ask you, did you get the picture of that moose I sent you?
I did. Thank you for sending that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he was stopping my egress from the hot spring, you know. I had to walk right up to him. I could have touched him on the nose, and he had a rack. My brother and two nephews are starting to hunt moose Monday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. We've shot about 4 moose up there.
Oh, that's neat.
It's done on a lottery. And you don't have to have a guide.
Okay.
And all the paper companies have endless roads you can track up there. And reasonable hunt and good meat.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. The first of the year, you can find out how to get in their lottery, and it ends up being really, really cheap for that kind of hunt.
Huh, that's neat. My uncle used to go up every year up into Canada and go moose hunting, and he had a cabin up there, and he got a moose every year, and that's what he ate, and he loved it.
Boy, did you try? It's that. I think it's better than any beef, any other meat, red meat.
I like it. I like beef, but I'm kind of a beef guy. But I tell you what, it was pretty darn good. He used to have a lot of it ground into hamburger, and he'd mix it 50-50 with that and with some beef, and that was his specialty, was moose burgers, and they were pretty darn good.
Yeah, yeah. We shot a cow one time up there, and I gutted it, and there's about five of us, brothers and my son, and she had a big udder, and I milked her udder, and I drank her milk. Just like milk.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, thanks for the call, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, man.
God bless. Take care.
Take care, Kevin.
Well, and the phone number is 970-224-4203, or you can call 970-484-5213. I did get a text in from Zach, and I wanted to share that. It says, I was just up in Canada. I also noticed that the city employees were foreigners. All the road construction workers were immigrants from the Middle East, and that was north of Sioux. So, yep, it's a real deal up there.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of talk about what the default to about them pulling out, the default to the U.S. perhaps, or things like that. Have you heard any more about that?
I have not.
I kind of seen some noise.
I haven't heard any more about it. I know the, what was it? Was it Calgary that was really kind of leading that up there? I'm trying to remember if it was Alberta or what province it was that was really, really vocal. It was one of, out there on the prairie somewhere in Canada. They want to be separate as soon as possible.
Yeah. There's a lot of noise being made about it. And they say, it's funny because the mainstream news says, oh, there's nothing serious going on there. It's a nothing burger, you know. But I'm not so sure they're not playing that down pretty big, but who knows?
Yeah, I agree.
The other thing about the car inventories, just to jump back to Kevin's comment a little bit, is, and I wondered about this, like Tricolor Lending and some of those outfits. I mean, they've got, they may be intentionally, what do you want to call it, dumping these cars on the market through easy financing in order to protect the manufacturer's financial situation. They're getting something out of it, and they can't sell a lot of this stuff as new now because some of these cars that have been stored are over, you know, their date. I mean, they have an expiration date on new automobiles. You can only sell it new for so long. I mean, you can't anymore. It's a used car. Maybe they're dumping them on the market, and these finance companies are going to go broke and claim Chapter 7, and their surplus, or, you know, they're moving inventory out that way. I don't know, but it's a thought. I mean, there's a lot of schemes there to make all that work, I guess.
Yeah.
From time to time, I think it's all done on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I really, there's no doubt, I don't know, sometimes decisions are made that they know will be failures, but it's only failures for the consumer, for the little guy. It's never a failure for the big corporation.
Right.
They don't get hurt. No, the economy gets hurt. But when we say the economy gets hurt, we're really talking about the wage earner and the consumer that feel the punch there. The major corporations, the bankers, they're not getting hurt. They're making the decisions that protect them in the long run and their assets. And at the end of it, how can they recoup and rebuild. And it's always, the game is always towards the house, and they're the house. Yeah.
A good example of that is explained to me a few years back. Well, it's been a long time ago now, but was the fact that a lot of these companies, they have a product that they know will only last 5 years, but they put a, you know, 8, 10, 15, 25-year warranty on it. But at the end of 8 years, they reorganize and shut that company down, rename the company, sell off the assets or whatever to this new company that they've created. And, yeah, your warranty is good right up until you try to claim it because the company no longer exists. So, you know, that's one of those ways that they protect themselves. And some people are like, well, it's got a 25-year warranty on it, you know, but the company's only going to be around 8 or 10 years. So there's, and that goes on all the time. I mean, there's lots of that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, and to go along with what you're saying, Tim, I believe that is all done on purpose, right? They know that.
Oh yeah.
They're going to give you a 12-year warranty, but they know they're going to shut the business down in 6.
Yeah.
And it's all done on purpose.
It's an asset protection model. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Well, moving on, I don't know, does anybody have anything about they want to talk about as far as science and technology?
There was a major earthquake in Russia.
Yes.
That's the second one in what, about a month, Tim?
Yeah. And it begs the question of, you know, they're talking about what caused it, which is an interesting question to me. I mean, it's like, well, really, does the earth quakes? But we also know that there is technology available to induce sorts of things like that and everything else. And there's some tinfoil hat thought out there that maybe it's an earthquake machine pointed at that direction involving the Ukraine or some of the other things. Don't know. I mean, what you guys' thought is, but the timing of it is interesting, right?
Yep. Especially given, like, you know, we've said several times, or at least I've said several times during the show, that you do this in the midst of while nobody's watching. And it is interesting. It's interesting to me that region has been quiet over the last week, 10 days. And then out of nowhere, you get a major, I think it was a 7.8 earthquake on the heels of, I think the last one, Tim, what was it, 8.2 or 8?
Well, yeah. It was up there because these are all like some of the largest ones that they've recorded in, you know, recent history. Yeah. I mean, they're not little. It's not like
they're not tremors. It's a legit earthquake, and it's interesting. It is interesting, and I know it sounds crazy and conspiratorial, but I think weather modification is a real thing, and I do believe. The ability to generate earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes and that sort of thing. I think that's a legit thing. I think it's real. I think there's more and more, if you want to say legitimate people, you know, the one that comes to mind is Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, she's been pretty outspoken recently on a variety of things. But one of the things that she's been very outspoken on is no more controlling our weather in the United States. And that's a sitting congressman, you know, that's sitting there, or congresswoman, I guess, sitting there and in front of everybody. She's putting this out in the congressional record that this is a real thing, and she wants to take action to prevent it from happening in the future in the United States. So I guess if I'm crazy, Marjorie Taylor Greene's crazy, too.
Yeah.
Well, and in all of their thinking, they seek to be like God. They want to exercise his power.
That's right.
And I, you know, he's not mocked. They
their control is more like destruction than control. And God brings us the early rains and the late rains, and they're for our benefit, and they protect us and keep us. But their control seems to only, you know, hamper, destroy, and create bad things. But that doesn't stop them from trying, you know, or from doing it.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I was out of the office a couple days this week, but did spend some time working on the newsletter. So, Lord willing, this next week be putting that together and getting that on the presses. So, do appreciate people keeping that in prayers. There's a lot of work that goes into that, a lot of hours, and looking forward to getting that printed and getting that in the mail to you. If you don't receive that Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine, you can subscribe by just shooting me an email, jason@sfaw.org, and or you can give me a call or write to us, whatever you want to do, and just request it, and I'll make sure and get you added on to that as well. Did want to just tell people that, man, these water filters, these Alexa Pure, they got a lot of really good feedback from people that have ordered those and been using them, playing with them. Easy to put together, and people are loving the taste of the water. So that's fantastic. People, I've had several people that have ordered them, got them, set them up, started using them. I thought people were going to be buying them to stick away for emergency situations, but people are using them. I think people are really starting to understand that, you know, how important drinking good water is. And, you know, I agree. We got one set up in the house, and that's what we've been using. And it's been funny because the kids, they had a kick out of it. They started doing blind taste tests with people. And having them taste the water out of the Alexa Pure and having them taste tap water and having them taste bottled water and stuff. And hands down, everybody so far loves the taste out of the Alexa Pure better than anything, which
that's awesome.
I thought was really awesome.
Amazing.
yeah. And I mean, my 7-year-old can, he can, somebody got him some water the other day and he took a drink of it and he spit it out and he's like, oh, he didn't get it come out of the water purifier. And he went and dumped it out and got it out of the water purifier. And it was just funny because he could taste the difference, that much of a difference after using it. And, you know, with looking at everything that thing filters out, I think that, I think it's a good idea to be drinking good water. Do got him up on the website. People can check that out. Calling him a radio revenuer, ordering a water filter keeps us, supports this ministry and keeps us on the air and keeps our live church streams and stuff coming to you. So do appreciate it when people order from our store by going to www.scripturesforamerica.org. We got an online store there and got books and some shortwave radios. And now we've got the Alexa Pure water systems, and they just are fantastic. And one of the things that, you know, is I was telling the guys is like, you know, when we wanted to expand the store and wanted to get some more different products and stuff in, is we wanted to have good quality products that we believe in that we would use ourselves. And, you know, that's the way it is. We're not going to have something. There's cheaper versions. There's Chinese knockoffs of a lot of stuff that you can get for a better price that you can make more money at. We don't want to do that. We want to have good quality products, at an affordable price. And at an affordable price, sometimes it's hard to get it to people at an affordable price, but that's what we're trying to do. And, I've been really impressed with the quality of this and just thankful you can get filters for them. I was on Marketplace and the other day and I seen several of the Berkeys. People are getting rid of their Berkeys. They're selling them, and they're selling them for next to nothing.
Yeah.
Basically because they can't get filters for them, which is, you know, a sad deal. And I'm not sure. I'll have to look, but I don't. I think that if even if somebody did have a Berkey, you might be able to adapt and just put these Alexa Pure filters in there. I'm not sure, but it'd be worth looking at. We'll have to check that out because I know if I had a Berkey, that's what I would be trying to find some other filters for it. I talked to one person. They said, "Well, you can't get the black filters." I'm like, "Yeah, I know you can't get the black filters for the Berkeys." But there's got to be something else, and I don't know. That'd be something that maybe we can talk about in the future. Maybe we can find some filters or see if they're adaptable. I just don't know. I haven't looked that closely, but I'm sure that there's an option. But really good filters. Just wanted to continue to tell people about that, and talked to Brother Zach yesterday when I was headed home, and he said, called up and said, "Hey, I got to record tomorrow. I got a message, and so I'm going to be recording him this morning for church tomorrow. He's going to be talking, I think, more on Acts, and looking forward to that. And prepper tip of the week, men. Where do you guys want to go with that?"
Well, I think we've talked about some of these things today as far as these antichrist leftist commie people. They're kind of coming out of the woodwork, right? So maybe we need to kind of go there about how does that affect your prepping.
Yeah.
I agree.
Go ahead. Go.
No. To me, and I feel like a broken record a lot of times, but no matter how you're prepping and what you're prepping for, mindset always comes to the forefront, right? So the first step in what Tim is talking about is to recognize that these people exist, they're organized, and they're out there, and they're not just centralized in the major population areas, right, Jason? Because of the internet, the public school systems all across this country, I don't know of a better way of saying it, but these freaks are everywhere. They truly are. I was around yesterday a large group of people here in the little small town that I live in, and I was amazed at the people that I saw that were here. This wasn't Dallas or Houston. They were in this little town of 2,000 people. And I was looking at them and trying to figure them out and thinking to myself, these are the people that you would see in Portland. These are the people you would see in Seattle. And they're right here. And it was kind of a wake up for me of, it doesn't matter where you are now. They're amongst you. Yeah, they're there amongst you. It used to be that we could go, we had refuges that we could go to, and I just don't think that exists anymore. And I think that's the part of the prepper tip of the week, Jason, that I want to get out there is everybody has to pump gas. Everybody has to go to the hardware store. Everybody has to go to the grocery store and just be mindful that, so do these freaks. So do these people that just absolutely hate our God, and they hate us because of who we are and what we are. And if you don't think that this is being talked about online in these chat groups, there are more chat groups and social media platforms that you don't know names of. There is a new one that pops up every week, and it's popping up for certain groups and certain sects of people, and they are talking about us. That's once again, we say this isn't to be fearful of this, but you have to understand they're pointing their fingers at someone, and it may not be us by name, but it's us. They're talking about the oppression that they see, in light of all this mess with Charlie Kirk and the what's coming out of the White House as far as, banning the trans movement and all of this sort of, and all of us are pumping our fists saying, yeah, let's get rid of this stuff. But understand, over the last 8-10 years, a lot of these people have come up to the top, and it's going to be kind of hard to push them back down to the bottom. And they may just not like that. And understand if you have certain bumper stickers on your cars or you're carrying yourself in such a way, the focus of their anger may be you. And you need to keep that in mind. I guess, Tim, I don't know. That's not a physical prep as much as it's a mindset prep, but we just need to understand. Yeah, they're out there, and they're going to channel their anger towards something or someone.
Well, and I always kind of like to say, well, God's blessings favor the prepared. You know, I mean, you want to, it's not that God can't lift you up, and regardless of your circumstance or anything else, but you're certainly in a better situation if you are prepared for it, both mentally, spiritually, and physically. And I think we're approaching a time when we need to keep our head up and see those people, you know, there. I mean, that works the same way. They have bumper stickers and they have all those sort of things.
Yep.
So when you see someone pull in like that, you know, it's like, prepare yourself. I mean, be ready for that kind of stuff because, you know, that's just
and,
the way it is.
And that's as simple as, you know, when you say prepare yourself, I know we're getting short on time, but a lot of times, right, it's just being cognizant of a potential threat. I'll go back to Colonel Cooper's, you know, the color codes of, you know, white, yellow, orange, and red, right? That you don't need to walk around in white. That's what sheep do. And sheep are always targets. They're always targets because they're sheep. And we should be mindful of the potential threats that are around us. And my piece of advice is once you see someone like what Tim was talking about that maybe fits a certain profile or whatever, don't be sheepish. Don't dip your heads down to your feet or your eyes down to your feet and pretend they're not there, because all you're doing is making yourself a target for attack. You know, you don't have to be confrontational towards any one group of people, but you do need to portray yourself in such a way that you're prepared. You're prepared to act. You're prepared to take action. That goes a long way. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, not an easy victim here. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And and predators pick up on that. I mean, they do.
That's right.
And I think that one of the things that people can do, too, is I think people can catch themselves off guard by thinking that they can trust somebody by, you know, going into a hardware store and, you know, maybe being in a familiar environment and thinking that, okay, these people are on my side. I would just I would caution people, and I think that was what we're talking about is discernment. We just need to, you know, work on it. And I think people need to pray for discernment and and just, you know, rely on it too. The discernment, I think that comes with, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit. But I would encourage people just to pray for discernment, exercise discernment. And, you know, we're living in the times where, you know, everybody that appears to be your friend isn't going to be your friend. So just, you know, be aware.
Amen. Amen.
And we are out of time. Thank you, men, for being here this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
All right. God bless. We'll talk to you guys later. And thanks, Remnant, for being here. Join us for church tomorrow by going to www.scripturesforamerica.org.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights.
remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name.
You are listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network with Pastor Peter J. Peters, made possible by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. If you would like to be one of those who help to get needed truths out to others,